move closer so that I don't have to shout. Right? Better that way.
Should I put this outside proper table?
Which is better? Which? Yeah, I think it's better this way. No? Be careful.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, kids are going out. Hare Krishna. Anyway, thanks. Thank you to Madhava Gauranga Prabhu and Shyamala Madhiji for the introduction. I don't know whether I deserve what they say, but anyway. You two are brothers?
Yeah.
How is that I know that?
Do you look alike?
Huh?
Do you look alike?
Yeah. Little bit. We have some features. Alright, so we'll read from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Devi esha gunamayi.
Devi esha gunamayi.
Mama maya duratyaya.
Mama maya duratyaya.
Mamevai prapadyante.
Mamevai prapadyante.
Mayam mitam tarantite.
Mayam mitam tarantite.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki
jai.
Translation. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Please repeat, this divine energy of mind.
This divine energy of mind.
Consisting of the three modes of material nature.
Consisting of the three modes of material nature.
Is difficult to overcome.
Is difficult to overcome.
But those who have surrendered unto me.
But those who have surrendered unto me.
Can easily cross beyond it.
Can easily cross beyond it.
Okay, purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, for the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord. But due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, the illusion, is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Baddha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam tu maheshwaram. Although maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. Another meaning of guna is robe. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words mameva are also significant. Mam means onto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajaguna, passion, and Tamaguna, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas Sweta Svatara Upanishad 3.8 confirm this in the phrase Tam Eva Viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Evana Samsayaha. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Om Agyanatamirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Sanmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Mukam Gangato Achalum Bangum Langi Timgirim Yat Kripatamam Mandi Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodato Gadodi Pushwanda Chitra Sando Tamonado Devi Shaguna Mai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vayi Prabhadyante Maya Mitam Tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, here Krishna is telling Arjuna about his material energy. And it's not a simple energy, it's very complicated energy. And Maya is very powerful. Maya Shakti is not on its own. It has three aspects to it. One of them is this three modes of material nature. So this is the Rajaguna, Tamaguna and Sattvaguna, which means more of passion, more of ignorance and more of goodness. So there are three things. And these three natures is how the material energy or material nature itself uses to keep us within this material world, make us feel comfortable. So the material energy itself has two potency, avaranadmika shakti, which means to cover us, and prakshet padmika shakti, to bewilder us. For example, if you hear in a class where they say you shouldn't do this, it's not good for you, you will say, yes, this is very bad for me. And then when you go home, you think, yes, I shouldn't be doing those things. After a few days you'll say, it's all right. That's okay. So that is the bewildering potency of material nature. Even though you know or you knew it's not good for you, but then how is it that you are saying it's okay? This is the power of material nature. Very powerful. And if you see the material energy of Maya Shakti in a personal form, it's a feminine form. Maya is feminine form. So she takes the form of Durga Devi. And so if you see Durga Devi, she has how many hands? Quite a lot of hands. About 10 hands, I think. Yeah. And she holds 10 different kinds of weapons to control the jiva. And she also carries the Trishula. Okay? So the Trishulas represents these three gunas. These two. And in her feet, or under the tiger or lion she sits on, she holds the jiva in her feet with the trident. So you cannot run out, cannot escape her. So this is what a lot of people worship. That's her job, to hold you. So you keep worshipping, she'll keep holding you. Now that is how it is. Yeah, she may give you some material benefits, but the material benefits is temporary. Anything in this material world is temporary. Anything is temporary. Okay? What does temporary mean?
It only lasts for some time.
Yeah, it only lasts for some time. So whatever you think you are happy here, it will only
last for some time.
Last for some time. Just like when you play on your PS4, PlayStation, it will only last for
some time.
Some time, right? Otherwise you have to buy a new game, right? Otherwise, why you have to buy a new game if it lasts forever? So that's how material nature is. Whatever you are enjoying, it's only going to last for a short time. Whatever, even your promotion, you'll get promotion, you'll be happy for 1 or 2 days, right? And then it's the same. They just say you are promoted, but then what they do is they give you a lot more work. And then they say it's promotion. Promotion means you take more work from them. And they give you a little bit money, just a little bit. The company makes billions and they'll give you maybe hundreds to you. That's the nature of the material world. Everything here is temporary and the pleasures that you get is temporary. So therefore, it is illusory. You understand? That is the reason why it's illusory, because it's not real. The definition, reality, is something we need to understand, what reality is. Reality is something that is, we as a living entity are, if you understand, we are eternal living entities. Mamayamsa jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatanaha. These living entities are my nature and they are eternal, Krishna says. So not only that, he has said it in the second chapter also, right? He said that, Natu evaham jatunasun natu nevi janadipaha. Where he tells Arjuna, everyone, even including you, we are all eternals. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So we are always existing. He didn't say that we are, there was one time when we were all one and now we are many. He didn't say like that. Krishna never says like that. But there are fools who talk like that. People who don't read the Bhagavad Gita properly, they feel that is the understanding. So, in this particular verse, Krishna wants to make it clear to Arjuna that not many people know him. Part of the reason is they are bewildered by this material nature. That is her job. Okay? And all the Shaktis, Lord has many Shaktis, innumerable Shaktis. You cannot count the number of Shaktis he has. Just like there's waves in the ocean, the Lord also has that many Shaktis. So there's so many power he has, right? You like to have so much power also, right? People, everyone wants to have some power. That's why they dream up Superman, Spider-Man, right? Hulk, this, what else? All these superheroes, so to speak. But the biggest superhero is Krishna, because he has everything. Nobody is better than him. All those comic heroes are people are imagining Krishna in different ways. But they don't understand who he is really. So they give them some character, some emotions, but really, Krishna has all of that and more. So Krishna has unlimited energy, and one of this energy is material energy or Maya Shakti. Now all the Shaktis are, actually everything that comes from Krishna takes on the role of Prakriti. Prakriti means
feminine.
Okay, there's only one Purusha. And that is Krishna. He's the enjoyer. Purusha means to enjoy. Now, because when we were created, we wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna. So therefore, we were put into this material world to take on this human body to enjoy. So sometimes we take the male form, Purusha form, or sometimes we take the female form, a lesser Purusha. So that's we are trying to enjoy the material nature. So this is what happens. So Krishna is the only enjoyer, and because we became envious of his enjoyment, we left Krishna's wonderful eternal place, and we came to this place to be happy. And now you can see how happy you are, how happy we are all are. So this is reality, and to keep us here from getting out and causing problems is the material nature. The whole idea is, in the spiritual world, we are meant to serve Krishna. That is it, nothing else. Whatever pleasure Krishna gets, we feel happiness in giving someone pleasure. Just like if you are parents, when you see your children happy, you are automatically happy, right? So in the same way, when you serve Krishna, automatically you will become happy in the spiritual world. You don't have to do anything else. Just serve only. Over here, you serve your sons and daughters, 20 years later, you don't know what they will do. Right? No guarantee. Whereas in spiritual world, it's guaranteed. You'll be happy in 20 years also, or infinitely happy. So we left that wonderful place, and therefore, we need to learn the mistakes we made. And when we left, we had a very independent attitude. So when we came here, that independent attitude is transformed into ahankar. Okay? That ahankar means you want to be in control. You want to enjoy. You are the big top guy like that. That's how every living entity feels. That's the ahankar. Because that kind of feeling can only be in one person. And that is Krishna. Only he can be like that. Because we are not of that nature, for us to adopt that kind of thinking is incompatible in the spiritual world. Now you understand why you are here? Because it cannot exist there. And but because he is merciful, he wanted to correct us, so he created this Maya realm, and he placed us here, and then he gave us all the facilities. And say, okay, go and enjoy, but there is a price to pay. So the price is that we cannot enjoy forever. Everything has a beginning and an end. So no matter what you are happy with, will be gone in a few years or within the lifetime. You cannot hold on to it. Everything will go through your hand like sand. When you hold the sand, it'll just come through your fingers. So that's all you can claim. At the end of the day, there's nothing in it. When you came into this world, you had nothing. When you go with?
Nothing.
Exactly. So you cannot claim anything. Nothing belongs to you. All right? You can say, this is my house, I paid for it, and so on. It's only yours for how many years? Did you think about it? It's true. After a few years, Either you sell it because it's too much to maintain, or the mortgages are too high, you go back to your rental place, and even then, after a few years, they will kick you out. It's true. Life is like that. If you don't not see what life is for real now, it'll be painful later. You know, because it is not a happy place. Really, this is not a happy place. We can have short spurts of happiness here and there, little happiness here and there, right? If you tell me you're always happy, then I'll challenge you. Why are you not laughing every time, right? You're only happy when someone says happy birthday, or they give you a present, then you are happy, right? After that, you are not happy. Today is your birthday, happy birthday, and then tomorrow, no more birthday, right? Correct? It's like that. You're only happy for a short time. In reality, we are not happy. We are always miserable. And the misery is, you know, it depends. Very miserable or not so miserable. So that's where we exist on a daily thing. If not, you'll be happy all the time. You'll be laughing all the time. You're not. Most of the time, you're very unhappy. What are you unhappy about? Unhappy about your job. Unhappy about your marriage. Unhappy about your husbands. Unhappy about your children. About your wives. About school. About having to get up in the morning. Right? So many things, right? We're all unhappy. We're never... Who gets up happily? This is so material.
Friday mornings are okay. Friday mornings are okay.
Yeah, because you're thinking your burden is lessened. So again, the same feeling is it's temporary. As soon as Sunday night comes, you're miserable. Right? You're thinking, I have to go to work. Friday you become happy, and it's all temporary. And you're not seeing, it's a cycle. Isn't it? Are you trying to pull your teeth out?
Huh? Dry my teeth out.
Why? Why are you trying to take it out? Don't do that. Don't touch your...
You want to wash your hands? Take
it out.
Wash your hands. Yeah. If you touch your mouth and all, you become unclean. Is he got some problem in his teeth? Who's the parent?
No, he has some cord.
Oh. No, he's been pulling like anything. It might come out. Just the material nature is. Right? Anything terrible can happen like that. So you have to be careful. So this material energy is so powerful. It holds everyone. You know. By your nature, it controls you. You know. So if you are a person who's quick to anger, the mode of passion is going to control you. If you're a person who's easily satisfied, the mode of goodness is going to control you. Then if you're a person who is always doing some terrible things, drinking and so on, you enjoy that, then the mode of ignorance is controlling. So these three gunas, they will hold you. And this is how you are always captured in this material world. And then you think, through that illusion, you're thinking, this is my family, this is my home, this is my life, and so on. Right? And then you will not bother to understand what life is all about. Dehapatya kalatra deshu atmasanyesu asat sapi tesam pramadan niddhanam pasyan apina pasyati. A person's devoid of atma-tattva, the knowledge of atma-tattva. They think everything in their family life, everything is the main thing. Because they don't understand everything. And then they can see all the problems that are happening in family life and what's going on and what's going to happen. And they see in another person's life, oh, this person did this and he's suffering, now he's in a terrible situation. And oh, they see another person getting sick and dying and so on. Pasyan na api pasyate. They can see all that, but they think it will never happen to them. this is our situation, right? Same thing when Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked by the Yaksha, so what is the most amazing thing? He said, so Yudhishthira Maharaj said, the most amazing thing is that everyday people are dying, but yet others are thinking it will never happen to them. The reason why we highlight death and so on, is it not that we are so terrible,
pessimistic
or very negative about life. It's not that. It's just this is a fact of life. Nobody wants to talk about this fact. Nobody, even if in this society, America, so they don't want to talk about death. But in Vedic culture, we all have to know what death is, and we prepare how to die. Right? You have to die peacefully. How to die peacefully is what Krishna is telling Arjuna also. Same with Sukadeva Goswami telling Parikshit Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Take the hand away. You are, just keep it down. Don't touch your mouth. So Vedic culture is all about that. Here Arjuna is afraid of killing other people. And so Krishna is telling him that is not the main problem. Dying is not the problem. What is the problem is you do not understand what the soul is meant to do. What is the relationship between the soul and the super soul? Or the Paramatma here as Krishna. If we want to enjoy material life without thinking of Krishna, then you will completely be covered and bewildered. Okay? That means you don't know anything. All you know is your own things, your own pleasures, your senses that you are enjoying, that's all. And that is not the real goal of life. The real goal of life is to re-establish your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you all understand who Supreme Lord. You accept that, right? You have to accept it, otherwise you will not be able to make connection. If you don't accept Krishna, then you are not going to work towards establishing a relationship. So if you, each of you have been studying Bhagavad Gita so far, and if you are not trying to establish a relationship with Krishna, it means you have no faith. Krishna says in the 4th chapter, Nayam lokasthina varana sukam samsayatmanaha. Person cannot be happy in this life nor in the next life if he does not have faith in the scriptures. How to be happy? So, for us, we can't really get out of this material nature, because the material nature is very powerful. If you know about creation, which is in the Bhagavatam, you will find that we are enclosed in this universe by 7 layers, each 10 times bigger than the other first. And then inside there's some space, and half of it is filled with water. Garbha Dakasha Vishnu is there. And then the universe, little universe is there. That is our universe. And we are living there. So how to get out? Like inside the coconut, the hard shell, inside you are living. How to come out? Maya is holding us like that. So first she is covering all us and we are inside. And on top of that, she gives us a material body and covering the soul. See how many layers. So therefore, this statement is very important. Mama Maya Duratyaya. It's not possible. Impossible to get out from this material world. So how? Mamevai prapadyante. That means only if you surrender unto me, I will take you. So how is Krishna going to take us out? He takes us out through the help of a spiritual master or a advanced devotee. They will come, they will guide us by telling us what to do and what not to do. So when you study Krishna's book and Bhagavad Gita particularly, you should come to the point of understanding that you need to change. Change what? Change life, change?
Consciousness.
Consciousness, how are you going to change?
Always remember.
Okay, if you can remember. Always remember who?
Krishna.
And never forget Krishna. But to do that, you must practice. So then, how much are you practicing? Right? Everything practice makes.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. But if you don't practice, you are imperfect. Yeah. You have to practice. So how much are you practicing? Are you chanting? No?
Yeah.
How many rounds?
On to four.
You're doing four. Then?
Same.
Good. Yeah, at least you keep that number until you become older. But the same applies to the adults also. You have to practice first chanting, then you try to follow the four regulative principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, or no gambling. That's not enough. Then you need to, as I say, try to connect with Krishna. How do you connect with him? You?
Remembering
Krishna. Well, that's one way, but not everyone can remember. Service.
Service.
Mainly through service. You remember Krishna through service. By serving, you know you're serving Krishna and you get purified. So, how much service are you doing? And at the end of the day, before you sleep, do you think about Krishna? How you pray to Krishna? What do you pray? Give me this, give me that. Huh? Yeah? Yes? Do you ask? Yes or no? No.
I don't ask.
What do you do? How is your prayer?
I don't really pray in the time.
You don't even pray, right?
No. Not in general.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I asked first. On his birthday, recently we celebrated his birthday.
Yeah.
And I asked him to ask for a wish from devotees.
Yes.
And he said, all devotees, I know, give me blessing that I can very quickly go back to God.
Oh, really?
Very easily go back to God.
Okay, so what do you pray to Krishna?
I say, give me good knowledge so I can come back to you.
Okay, good knowledge, good intelligence. We need intelligence. If our intelligence is not pure, then we go after material enjoyment. If our intelligence is pure, then we go after Krishna's enjoyment. So the material energy will catch you when you want to enjoy yourself, selfless. When you're selfish, it catches you. When you're selfless, then Krishna takes care of you. If you are selfish, then you create karma. And you're trapped. That's how you get to come back. Because you have desires and you want to enjoy those desires. And then generally most of your desires is not fulfilled in one life. So then Krishna's kind. He said, oh, you're not finished. Come back. You can enjoy another life. Yeah? And which life do you want? Do you want to taste so many kind of food? Yeah, come as a pig. You want to work like a fool? Come as a donkey. You know? You want to sleep all the time? Come as a
bear.
Yeah. So many different bodies he has. Yes, I got so many bodies. Pick one. Free. It's true, it's free. It's free. Free. You just take what you want. So you need someone to guide us so that we don't nurture such bad desires in our heart. We need to understand what is good desire and what are desires that are not really useful for me. So how do you know? You need to associate with devotees through the books and through gatherings like this. Yeah, and that's where you actually understand. Otherwise, you will be trapped here. It's very hard to go. Do you know the story of Kailash? You know?
The snake.
Yeah, they know?
Yeah, I went up
to. Okay, anyway, I'll repeat the story of Kailash. There's one that's a very, very nice person. He was a devotee, practicing, and he was working hard. And so what happened was one day, Narada Muni came near his house and Kailash was outside. So Narada said, "Oh, Kailash, you're such a wonderful person. You know, I'm so pleased to see you. But I want to actually give you a benediction. I am going to Vaikuntha now. Would you like to come with me?" "Please, you know, I'm going." And Kailash was so happy. He said, "Really?" Then he said, "Actually, I can't come with you. So I have a family, my wife and my children. You know, I have to take care of them." Then Narada said, "Okay, maybe next time we'll see you." Then Narada left. Then years later, Narada came. And then he saw Kailash is much older now, he's outside, and he's playing with some grandchildren of his. Then Narada came and said, "Kailash, you the same Kailash?" He said, "You're much older." "Yes, Narada, nice to see you, how are you?" And said, "Kailash, I have a big surprise for you. I'm on my way to Vaikuntha now. You know, you can come with me, I'll take you." Kailash said, "No, I can't come." Say, "Why?" "Because my sons, they don't know how to run the business. They don't know how to take care of everything in this place. You know, I have to be around for a while. You know, I can't really go." So then Narada was like, "Oh, Kailash, that means I may not see you again next time because, you know, you're already old." But then again, okay. Then he said Hare Krishna and left. Then many years later, Narada came to the same village and he was walking. All of a sudden this big black dog came running and barking at Narada. Narada was, "Oh, what is this?" You know, the dog kept barking and Narada was like, "What is this?" Then he, because he can understand dog's language, and the dog was saying, "Narada, Narada, it's me." Who are you?" "I'm Kailash." So Narada, "What happened, Kailash? What happened?" "Oh, I was so, you know, worried about my son and how they're going to take care of this property and the children, how they're going to make sure everything is okay, how my farms are taken care of. So I was kind of worried so much, and then I became a dog." And then Narada said, "You know, Kailash, I can go now. I'm going to Vaikuntha. I can take you now. Let's go." So Kailash, the dog, looked at Narada and said, "No, I cannot go." He said, "Why?" "Because my sons are foolish. They don't know how to take care of the property. If I'm not here, somebody might break in and steal all this stuff, you know." And then Narada said, "Okay, that's all right. We'll see you." And he left. Then after that, many years later, he came. Now the sons are all grown up. They are very old also, and they have children on their own, old. And Narada Muni came, and again now he saw the whole place is beautiful, well taken care of. There were a lot of paddy and corn fields were all growing very nicely. So he was walking, and then as he was walking, a giant cobra came, huge, and then hissing, like that. And then Narada was shocked because, you know, a snake was attacking him. And then, again, as you know, Narada can understand all the animals talking. So then this snake was saying, "Narada, Narada, it's me." Say, "Who are you?" "I am Kailash." And he said, "What happened?" "No, I could not give up my property and so on. And my sons are useless. They don't know. And now this fields, there are so many rats in this place. The birds, they are eating from the grass, all the rice and so on. Someone has to take care. My sons don't know how to do this. So I have become a snake." So Narada said, "Oh, is that right?" So then immediately Narada clapped his hand and said, "There's a snake here, there's a snake here. So all the sons of Kailash came out and started beating the snake. And then Kailash was shouting, "I am your father, I am your father, I am trying to help you," you know. So, but they only hear the sss, but he's telling them. So then they killed him, and he died. As soon as he died, because of Narada Muni's mercy and blessing, he left that body of snake and took a birth in a very highly elevated Vaishnava house. And then in that house he practiced very nicely. And then he went back to God in that life. Yeah. So the story is to actually show that we are like Kailash. But Kailash had Narada. Who do you have? Right? So Narada came so many times just to help him. So your guru will come if you follow nicely to help you go back to God here. Otherwise you will be stuck in this material nature. And you cannot get out of this entanglement of the three modes of material nature. We'll stop here so that you all can ask questions like that. Okay, any questions? If you don't...
Prabhu, are you always happy? Are you always happy?
Am I always happy? Good question. I think I'm more happier than I used to be. Yeah, much more happier. I don't have to work. I only work for one boss. And I know he cares about me. So I don't have to worry so much. Of course, because of the material body, we will have some difficulties here. And then, so there we will... But we always see Krishna in. So, yeah.
As you mentioned, this material world, we are like, the enjoyment is very little bit, though we know that enjoyment is live for only some time.
Little, yeah.
Little bit. But still, sometimes like, some sort of, even though we know this, and the parallel we know that there is sadhaka, but we know that we have to follow four equitable principles and austerities, standards and all. But sometimes it is very difficult to fight together.
Fight?
It means enjoyment as well as following rules.
Oh, no, actually by following the rules you will become more happier. See, this is an illusion, because you're conditioned to living in a certain style, fashion, and your mind and your senses are used to those kind of freedom, and so they don't want to give up those conditioning.
Yes.
So when you try to teach them the right thing, they fight with you, and that's your enigma, your difficulty. But actually you overcome that, you will become much more happier. Because the soul is already, Ananda is already there. And that's, Ananda in the soul is higher, much more infinite than the Ananda you get from drinking coffee or tea like that. Yeah. So that you have to understand first. And then you work at it. Maybe it may take, you know, a little longer than you anticipate. But if you purify your intelligence, knowing that if I keep doing this, then I have to take birth, right? What is the guarantee you will come back as a human being?
Yep, yes.
So if you understand that principle, then you will act accordingly. Yeah. Yeah. Our problem is we are not afraid.
Yeah.
Not afraid enough. Yeah.
Too afraid of?
Maya.
Yeah. Not only Maya, but not afraid at all, you know. We think everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
So therefore we think it's okay, you know, it should be all right, you know. It, like I was telling you, it will happen to someone else but not to me. Until it happens to you, then you say, why it happened to me?
Yeah.
That's the classic argument, why me? But someone else is watching you and say, good that it happened to him. That's how people are. So, but when you practice Krishna consciousness, then you don't want that to happen to anybody, actually. We want everyone to be in a better situation. The whole idea is, you know, there is a place where all these problems are non-existent. So why do we argue about, you know, it becomes meaningless. Logically, it doesn't make sense. You know, if you already know there's a better place, why even argue about, you know, I can't do this. The question is, do you want to go or not? That's it. So if you say, yes, I want to go, then what are you doing about it? Right? What are you doing about it today? What are you going to do about it tomorrow? What are you going to do about it day after, a week, a year? So every day you must change. Yeah. So it takes time, because you were conditioned not only in this life, you've been conditioned for many, many lifetimes, so it's going to take a long time. It's like if you have a cloth you use to clean your car and engine, and then you go and wash one time, do you think it's going to be clean? It will take a long and a lot of bleach. Finally, you know, maybe the cloth won't even become clean. It'll probably get torn into pieces. So that's how it's going to happen. Maybe in this life we may not finish it, but we may have to come a few more times to get cleaned. But you have to start somewhere. Yeah.
So, like, I wanted some more elaboration on the point that you said, okay, we want to go back. So I said, what are we doing now and what do I do tomorrow?
Yes.
Like, I don't know what I do tomorrow, for example, now. How do I plan that?
Well, you talk to the devotees. If you are uncertain about your own life, then just imagine how much you will make mistake in the normal life, material life. So you are uncertain now what to do, because it's
we
something
do certain
new.
Things now.
Yes. So now,
just stick to that.
What else to do?
Mm.
So discuss with devotees. You say, I'm doing these things. How else can I improve, or do I need to do something else? Yeah. So they can tell you, okay, we need more service in this place. If you're free, come and do this. So therefore, you increase.
But again, the cloth, if you're free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, of course, we cannot say you must do. If I were to say, then you say, these guys are so heavy. Mm-hmm. You know? So we always give it. It's a freedom of choice. Mm. Nobody is forced. So therefore, ultimately you have to decide whether you want to increase your service or not. So that will determine whether you are interested in getting out of this life, or you want to come back again. How much you are willing to give up. Correct? Yeah. So it's a choice you have to decide, you know. Like, for example, many people like to watch all kinds of movies, right? Bollywood, right? Most of you. Collywood, Bollywood, what?
Dollywood.
So you watch one of the woods. And maybe you watch the whole weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Then now when you become devotee, you give up some hours. You still watch because you're addicted. So that you decrease after, you say, after 1 month I will only watch once a week. Then after 6 months you'll say, I won't watch anymore. Or 1 year later. Like that. That's what I mean by, you know, what you do every day. Okay, you say you chant every day. But what is the quality of your chanting?
Yeah.
You know, are you thinking of Krishna, or are you thinking all the other problems? Yeah. So those are important things. You know, fine tune what you are doing now, and every day how much you read Krishna, how much? Like
this
that
I started,
yeah,
because I was talking to my niece,
yeah,
now she promised that she'll read every day, so because to keep up with her I'm also reading now.
That's one way.
Yeah.
Good.
That's his play.
Yeah.
How much, following up on his comment, your comment about free will, right? And you make your choices. How much is free will and how much is predetermined, in the sense that
any choice you make is your choice. And so based on that, the predetermination is that you're going to get something or you don't get something. Right? For example, let's say in this life you will get $100 million. So then, if the astrologer will say you have $100 million, you may be thinking you're going to strike a big lottery or something. But maybe throughout your life, the money was apportioned, and you, by the time you die, it's $100 million was spent on you. Understand? So, the same way, the karma is like that. So, your choice is only one thing, to do the right thing. That is your choice. Or you do the bad thing and reap further reactions, whether it's good or bad. And those good or bad means, okay, you may think I want to become a, let's say you want to become the president of America, but then you can dream only, so your desire is so strong. So you're thinking more of that than you're thinking of any other things. So when you die, that is the main thing. So then that will try to manifest in your next lives somehow. Because that desire will manifest as your karma. So therefore, whatever you think, good or bad, will manifest in different ways. So that to think good or bad is your choice. You understand now what is free will? Yeah. Free will is to make a decision to do whether Krishna's way or my way. My way, Krishna's way, or my way, which is the highway, like that. Yeah. So you make choices like that. And then along your own decision, karma comes in place. Whatever you desired or whatever you've apportioned, good karma will come as taking birth in a good family. Yeah? You may want to be, you know, be tall, so then you always, when you are young, you're thinking, why I'm so short, why you're thinking of growing tall. So next life you grow tall, but then you may look ugly, because karma works in a very funny way. It's not that what you want, it is what, how many lifetimes it adds up, accordingly it will be proportioned. So then you are tall and ugly, then you'll be thinking, I wish I was good looking. And then next life you'll be short and good looking. You know, that's how it works. That's why you see all kinds of people. You know. So sometimes you may do some action, the desire may not be very strong, but the desire is there. So that desire is carried to the next life, but may not manifest, because the desire is not really so strong. So in the next life, maybe you think like that again. So over millions of lifetimes, if that desire has grown sufficiently as a, like they say, a fruit, you know, when it's ready to fructify, the flower, so it reaps. The karma is like the phala, karma phala. So the bija grows and then becomes karma phala. So it fructifies, we say. So the day it fructifies, maybe in a life, million lifetimes later, and then you get it, and then you say, why? I didn't ask for this. Why am I? But actually you did, over many lifetimes. Yeah. So it was your choice. So that is the free will. You decide what you want and so on. And whatever you desire and how you acted is going to come in a certain fashion. And it is not that you go to a shop and you buy what you want. Here, there, you don't get it in karma. Karma comes in a certain fashion, and that the least you expect, then it hits you like that. So like that, you know. Just like all of you were born in India, right? It's like a very auspicious land according to the Vedic scriptures. But your dream was to come to America, you know. So then, maybe you will die in this life here, but then you may be dreaming of why I left India. And then you'll take birth in India again, and then when you grow up, you'll think, I want to go to America. So this is, yeah, it's like a cycle, but the same that this is based on your choices.
Choices you make.
Yeah, it's all based on your choices you make. That's why we are trying to teach people to make the right choice. And the best choice is Krishna. Because any choice you make with Krishna doesn't entail any reaction. It's called akarma, which is in the fourth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? There's karma, there's akarma, and there's the karma. Yeah. So if you follow according to the Vedic karma kanda, then it's karma. Then if you follow service to Krishna, it's akarma. If you follow against scripture, it's vikarma. Yeah. So that karma is what we call fate, you know. And so yeah, those are going to happen. You're fated to get certain body, certain family, you're going to get married to, all these are there. It's only happening when. But the choice, you made all those choices. It's coming later or earlier, that's all. Yeah. So that's the free will you decide. Yeah. So our free will, realistically speaking, is Krishna or no Krishna. That's it. Whenever we wish Krishna, then we don't have any reaction. Whenever we want for our own thing, then we create all these many, many wonderful lives. Yeah. Yeah.
So if it is it's a everyday, like daily life question. So if it is a very hectic day, how to prioritize the day? Like chanting will be there, and deity service and prasadam, listening, reading.
Yes,
so
the most important service is your chanting.
Mm-hmm.
You should do that very early in the morning at Mangala Arati time. So if you get it out of the way, you will find everything will be smooth. If you don't chant your rounds, then you'll be trying to do your rounds and this and that, and then the whole day is a mess. You've probably experienced that. So we always recommend everyone to chant at Brahma Muhurta at that time. So get up around 4:30, 5 o'clock and chant before you do other activities. You can do that, you know. It's not that hard. Which means you go to bed early,
yeah,
anywhere before 10, at least 10 latest you go to bed. So you can get up around 4:30, 5 o'clock like that. And then you find once you finish your sadhana practices, then you have so much to do. Then you'll think, wow, I've got so much time. Then you do nonsense. No, then you try to, you know, use it in a good way, whatever free. But if you don't chant your rounds, and then you find you have to do other things along the way, then you find it becomes a burden. Then you'll say, I got too much to chant. You know, chanting makes it so difficult to do other activities. It's not true. My experience is when I chant all, I got so much time. I can do so many things. So you prioritize your chanting first. Then after that, once you do that, then you can take care of your family duties. Or if you do deity worship, then you do that at a certain time. Let's say your husband goes to work at a certain time. So make sure he goes to work without any fight, right? So make sure that is done properly. Then you can do your other services. That is, so you prioritize that, you know, your students, I mean your children need to go to school or whatever, all those are done properly. You can't say, you either you have to chant nicely or you have to do your deity worship in the morning. So you have to decide which one. And then if you do one or the other, then the other activity must come after your morning duties. That means after everyone is out of the house, then you can chant or do your deity worship. Like that, you can do that. But that is for your home though. But if it's temple, then it's another time. Yeah.
Many often times it's very hard to do the chanting and deity service in the morning.
Okay, so then you can allocate a time. Like, what do you do for your deity service?
Like full Mangalati, a few days like we could able to do, but few.
Where
days
are you staying?
In the opposite.
Here only, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, why don't you just go to the temple for Mangalati?
Because my work starts in the morning.
What time?
4:30.
Your work starts at 4:30?
Yeah, I work for Eastern time. I work from home.
New York. New York.
Oh, you're doing New York.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're on the phone.
Yeah.
So then where's the time to do Mangalarti?
I used to take, like, I work from 3:30 to 6:30 and I'll take break and I will do Mangalarti sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, but sometimes I don't get that time.
Okay, then your most important thing for you is to chant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think Prudish is asking if
she has to decide between deity worship or
chanting.
Or chanting what she
chanting is more important.
So talking about chanting, I feel like we do it because we know this is the right thing to do, talking about, you know,
yes,
free will and decision, but it is still mechanical. How to get more and more rasa into it so that it doesn't feel like, you know, I should be excited about it, like.
Yeah, that's true. So that's where you need to pray. I was asking the boy, what does he pray, right? So the same way you pray the Lord that you want to get taste. You don't just mechanically chant, say, I'm chanting around but I don't feel anything. So please kindly let me feel something when I'm chanting. So one has to be sincere in prayers also. So when you beg like that, it's not instant. Don't expect instant result. You know. It'll take some time. So, because the Lord wants to see how serious you are in wanting to taste the holy name. So this will take some time. It may take your whole lifetime. But that determination is what the Lord is testing you. So you do that. And part of that determination, you chant, then you have to do service also. So the Lord knows, yeah, he is serious. And then he'll let you taste. If he can't taste through chanting, you'll taste through service. And then that taste will come in chanting. Yeah, like that. But yeah, you have to pray properly also. It's not a question of just doing it mechanically. It's like, I've been doing it for 30 years now, please Lord, why can't I even taste you? You know, that you really feel the sadness, and then begging, it becomes genuine, you know. So you have to ask every day, you have to say, please let me. And then he will let you taste. You will find that when you chant next time, you feel happier, more peaceful. Then you know, then you can tell him, yeah, you are allowing me to be peaceful when I chant your name. So now let me see you when I chant, like that. So slowly and slowly you get closer to him. Yeah. So there are stages like that, yeah. But yes.
So, what is the attitude with which one should approach work in the workplace? You know, you spend a lot of hours there.
Yes, I know. A lot of people spend. Everything, according to our understanding from the scripture, is Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Whatever you're doing must be connected to Krishna. So it may not be easy in the beginning, but you have to try to see how or whatever you're doing is a service to Krishna. Okay? I mean, I can give you a simple example. You can think like, I am working so I'm earning money so that I can pay rent to the house so that we can do Krishna service, like that. So your consciousness is, you're not working for enjoying yourself, but you're working so you can live peacefully to serve Krishna and his devotees, like that. So that's the type of thinking that you all have to cultivate over time. Yeah. And it's an important practice. What is this? These people never stay still or what? Is this kids up there? Oh, these same kids, okay.
No, not our kids.
Oh, it's another kid.
Three kids.
Oh, okay. They must be having a lot of fun.
So, Prabhu, I had a question.
Yeah.
Now, initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have like, so at least some enthusiasm because of the urge to give up material tensions, anxieties,
mm.
You know, we take it up enthusiastically. So what are the key factors to have the same enthusiasm over a long period, like, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Many people fall away, right? Like,
yeah.
What are some of the...
It's kind of difficult because we come from a society where everything is instant gratification. So when we join the movement also, or take up the process, we also bring all that kind of ideology, thinking it's going to be instant. I'm going to be a pure devotee tomorrow, like that. You know. So first, the culture must be made clear, you know, that the devotional culture must be practiced properly, that emphasis must be there. And secondly, you have to do things that make you happy. Activities in Krishna consciousness that you feel happy to do. If you don't feel happy, then then your enthusiasm is bottom, you know, totally bottom out. What are you eating? Chaitanya, right? What are you eating? Is it something you can eat? Then why are you eating it? You have to be careful because, you know, what is that? Goats.
Yeah.
Goats eat plastic, paper, cardboard, anything. You have to be careful because you may become a... You want to be a goat? No? Then you stop eating plastic or whatever that is. Metal. Goats eat like that. I've seen it. What is that? So, yeah. And you associate with people who are enthusiastic. You know, if you find there may be many devotees, then some devotees will always be very, oh, man, everything is no good. Then you sit with them, after a few days, you also like, oh. just like that, right? Birds of a feather flocks together, so you'll become like that. One time Prabhupada was asked by his disciple, Prabhupada, how you become a pure devotee? Then Prabhupada looked at him and said, how do you become a drunk? Then he laughed and said, if you join drunkards, you will be a drunk. So if you join devotees, you become a devotee. So the same way, you associate with people who are always happy doing that. Then you hope that it rubs off you. That's the idea. You know. Otherwise, it's not possible to increase one's enthusiasm. Particularly in this culture, in this society, there's so much going on, and the illusory energy is so bewildering. The grass is greener on the other side all the time. So, therefore, you need to have a lot of enthusiasm. You should be happy. Like if you go out on Harinam, you should be happy to be in the Harinam. You know? And like that, whenever you look forward to those kind of things, yeah, like that. Okay, I like that, I will go there. If you don't like some kind of service, find something that you'll be happy to do. But if you don't, just sit and do nothing, because eventually you will lose the taste. The taste is very special, but you must always keep it alive by your practice and as well as enthusiasm. Now, if you are not practicing properly, if you're not following things properly, then again you'll lose your enthusiasm and taste. That's another thing. And then if you are very offensive, you speak bad about devotees, whether the devotee is a good person or a bad person, you should not say anything negative. You always should encourage one another. But if you, let's say something bad, and then that will come back as a burden in your heart, because Krishna is in his heart, Krishna is in my heart. If you chastise someone, Krishna is in the heart, will feel the hurt also. So when he feels the hurt, you will be affected also. You cannot run away from these things. So therefore, don't commit offenses. No, don't think it's easy to say something bad. You may think, oh, I'm not saying bad in the temple, so I'll go outside and say bad about the person. Doesn't work like that. Krishna is always in your heart. So he knows. He's the witness. So you have to be very careful what you say about another person. If you encourage someone and enthusiastically, that's positive. Krishna is happy with you. Then you will feel happy. Yeah.
According to offenses, Prabhu, the strength of the holy name.
One should not commit offense on the strength of chanting the holy name.
My question is they will say that holy name is so powerful, even though one say it funnily or abusing someone or something, if they chant holy name, say holy name, it will purify one.
That is called aparad.
Aparad.
Nama aparad.
No, in one shloka.
Yeah, she's saying nama basa, even jokingly, if you chant the holy name, that effect is there.
No, that is different. If you are not, if you say it without bad intent, then it's okay. But you knowingly say bad about somebody, that's aparad. You know, but let's say you somebody talks something, you jokingly you say something, but you didn't mean bad to that person, that is okay, acceptable. But if you purposely say, this guy is a rascal, this, that, dog, you know, yeah, then it's an aparad. There's difference between that and that, you know.
No, I think what Mataji is asking is, even if you utter the holy name, once you
I understand.
Your,
I'm talking about the other thing.
Okay.
Yeah. If you are an innocent person who says jokingly about, and then they are chanting, for them they can make advancement to some extent, not completely, but some extent. But if you knowingly do it, then that is offensive. That is nama para. So you have to be careful. So someone can say, oh, you know, the holy name can still protect me, and then do the offense. That is what I'm saying. You can't think.
No, I'm not asking like that. I'm asking like while chanting in the 10 offenses at the last, we will say it is offense to be inattentive while chanting.
Yes, that is also offense.
Even though I'm chanting the holy name, but because of my lots of my
inattentive.
I will feel sleepy. So
that's inattentive chanting.
I can't control. Even I chant 10 namas,
yes.
And I feel sleepy.
Okay.
I don't know how to control that, and I'm praying every day. But
so how you chant? You sit and chant?
I can't sit. If I sit for 10
then you
namas,
sleep.
I will sleep.
So you
I
walk and chant?
Yeah.
How you can sleep when you're walking?
I don't know, Prabhu.
Oh, very strong sleep medicine. Sometimes it's good to sleep also. No, you chant loudly and walk. Right? Don't chant softly. I think you're chanting softly, right?
No, I use a loud voice. Sometimes I feel awake, but sometimes without knowing, I will be sleeping like this.
When you're walking?
not while walking.
Okay, then you shouldn't sit down. For you, you should walk and chant. Until you can control your mind. Because that's one way the mind will fight. But, oh, okay, that's okay, let's sleep now. The mind is always trying to revolt also. He wants to enjoy, doesn't want to listen to the chanting of the holy name. That's why. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened? Anything else?
So, today is Ekadashi.
Yes.
So, please explain us the significance of Ekadashi and the purpose of fasting and what should we do?
For us, Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees, Rupa Goswami writes in the Nectar of Devotion that observing these days are very good for us. And particularly we observe Ekadasi not just because we are not fasting from grains and beans, but to increase our dedication to Krishna. That means you chant extra rounds, you read extra, or you do some extra service like that. So Prabhupada mentions it in the book also, that the whole idea is to increase devotional service on that day. Okay, why we observe is because Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said that on that day, if you take grains, the Papa Purusha, personification of Papa, he takes shelter of grains on that day, grains and beans. So therefore we don't eat. For that one particular day, for that time, he is allowed to contaminate people who don't observe Ekadasi. He is given that blessing by Narayan himself. Yeah. Because many years ago, the devotees observed Ekadasi. And when they observed Ekadasi, they went back to Vaikuntha very quickly. So then Papa Purusha came and cried to Narayan and said, I have no more job because everyone's going back to Vaikuntha. So I don't know what to do. And the Lord felt compassion and said, you know, he's also a person who's trying to serve. It's his duty. So then he said, don't worry, if you stay in these places and if people eat grains on that day, then they cannot go back to Godhead. So therefore, on Ekadasi we don't eat grains and beans.
Probably, but yes. Sorry on this. In contest to this question, Prabhu, but this says that, right, Prabhu, if you offer not on Ekadasi any day, if you offer to Krishna, the, all the sinful activities go away.
Yes.
At the same time, why don't we offer on Ekadasi day as a grains and
that's why I told you, on that particular day, the Papa Purusha is given permission to stay.
Okay. But he got...
Yes, he got blessings also. Just like you get blessing, he get... So the day after Ekadasi, you can take grains. He
so
will leave.
Even if an offer ripping also, we cannot...
We shouldn't take. Yeah. Krishna can take. So
Krishna
can take.
Yeah.
We are not Krishna.
We can save it and take it next day.
Yes.
Even we can't offer it to Gauranitai also.
Grains?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't offer to Gauranitai. But
only Krishna.
But you have picture of Krishna then you offer. Yeah, for Gauranitai you make Ekadasi prasad. You don't offer to your Guru Maharaj also. Yeah.
And this prasad, only grains and beans are prohibited or in the list there are lots of
like what?
Cardamom, cloves.
No, you can take cloves, you can take cardamom. Who told you all this?
Just on what
Yeah, just say, just follow what Prabhupada said. Don't make your own list.
I saw in website.
Website. Why are you going to website? Your website is your guru? Don't go and see all that and get confused. Just follow what the devotees tell you and then you follow. And then you'll be protected. But if you do on your own, who's going to protect you? Correct?
Yeah.
You follow the devotees, you're automatically protected. Even if you make mistake, you're still protected because the devotees take responsibility. So there the reaction will go to them, not to you. So you just follow the devotees.
That's true.
Yeah, you just have to follow.
Is chocolate prohibited?
Yes. Chocolate is intoxicant. Which means cocoa.
Yeah.
To clarify, this kind of small doubts, whom to approach, like
you are Shyamala.
Shyamala.
Yeah, that's good enough. Don't go around too many people. Then you'll have too many answers. Right? You ask 10 people, they'll give you 10 different things.
Yeah.
If they don't know, they'll give you 10 different things. But if ask her, she's been trained, she should know. If she doesn't know, she can ask me. If I don't know, I'll ask somebody else. It's Guru Parampara. That's how it should be. Get one person, everyone listen to that person in terms of what to follow. And if she makes a mistake, she'll tell you, okay, from now on we won't do this. That's fine. So you learn and progress. Yeah, who's recommending eating chocolates?
No one recommended.
Okay.
But I hear like devotees eat like yes,
no,
yes, the first is not sure.
Prabhupada very clearly said no.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not good for you, it doesn't develop your consciousness properly. Yeah, it contaminates your intelligence also, especially your senses. Yeah, so don't take chocolate.
Would one more day to day, if we do some good, we feel like, yeah, we did a good thing and we need to maintain that thing so that we cannot miss the house like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do some bad, like we couldn't maintain things and how to answer myself, like whether to think that, oh, okay, that's okay for today, I couldn't do, or I don't know how to ask that.
Yeah, I know. So you pray, you come to the deities and ask for forgiveness.
But if it
continues?
Yeah, if it repeats
well,
on the next year also. Then
that, then you're not sincere.
Even I feel like I should do that, but somehow.
Well, that's the whole point, you know. Sincerity means we will maintain it. Right? And if you find it difficult, then you pray, ask them to give you strength. That's why they are there, to give us the blessings, to become strong, able to do it. That's a relation there between you and Krishna. If you don't pray, where's the relationship? Right? You are saying Hare Krishna, but who's your Hare Krishna? You're not wanting to develop by praying, wanting to pray. You think, oh, I shouldn't disturb the Lord. Okay, then who's going to help you? Who's going to help you? He is the one. Right? So the relationship must be cultivated. Yeah, you have difficulties, you pray and say, help me. You know? Yeah, so maybe you'll do the difficulties, but you continue asking for mercy. But you have to be sincere to try and stop that kind of attitude also. Because it works both ways. If you reciprocate, Krishna also reciprocates. But if he reciprocates and you don't do anything, then he will withdraw his mercy. You understand? Yeah. So that's how we also make advancement. Advancement doesn't come like automatically, you know, you pour water, the plant grows. So you suddenly you'll grow, float in the sky. No, it doesn't happen like that. It's a relationship. And Krishna gives the blessings. It's called mercy. Yeah, it's a grace. By his grace, you make advancement. Yeah, by the grace of devotees. So you make advancement. It's not going to be easy. None of this is going to be easy. Don't think it's going to be easy. Because, as I say, for millions and billions of lifetimes, you have been conditioned to enjoy. Now you're trying to give up. In one day, it doesn't work. Takes a while. So, therefore, be persistent and maintain your standards. And cry out to Krishna, help me. I'm such a rascal. I'm such a fallen person. Help me. Yeah? Yeah? Then you will see there will be change in your heart and you are able to do better things. Then you do more service like that. But don't ever get proud of what you can do. You will see in 5-10 years you'll think back, oh, I couldn't do 5 years ago, now I can do. How is that? Krishna is the one behind the strength. Right? We all were doing nonsense. Now we have stopped all those nonsense. So how is that possible? Because Krishna gave strength. Yeah. Okay? Question.
Questions will keep coming. You keep thinking, right?
Yeah.
But if you are sincere,
yes,
with your prayers, and you also do service, then and you approach people and you approach issues with good intent.
Yes.
Right? And you try to make them better. And every time it won't happen.
Yes.
You try it.
Yes.
Then there are some other things like watching movies once in a while and all that. You
have to give up those things. After a while, give it up, you know, because it's not going to help you. Not going to help you. What do you get from that? Nothing. Some mental pleasure, some emotion, you cry a little bit watching all that. I mean, you may have some attachment now, so okay, but give it up. Work on it. Because ultimately what, you're going to watch this movie, you waste your money, waste your time. Every second you lose, no one can give you back. $1 million won't buy you the hour you lose, 2 hours, so yeah. Yeah, a lot of things have to work. If you have a negativity, the best thing is you do service. Let's say you don't like somebody. The best way to overcome that is to work under that person. That's the best way. Then you have to tolerate. It's a big test, but you have to be ready to take the test. Yeah. If you go prematurely, you probably get angry. So one of the things you all need to do is control your emotions. Anger is the very bad emotion. So anger must be controlled.
That's the toughest problem.
Huh?
It's spontaneous.
No. You have left it to be spontaneous. Now you have to use your intelligence to control yourself. Once you are angry, your intelligence is what? Bewildered.
Right.
Remember? Yeah. And then you cannot use your intelligence. So therefore, when you feel like getting angry, you count. 1001, 1002, 1003, like that. Or if you're a person, you're going to be always angry, then go and see a doctor. Go for anger management. Get it under control. Okay?
It's not always, but it's spontaneous, that's what I was saying.
No, they shouldn't be. That's my point.
It's not always.
Yeah, it is not the nature of the soul. You may have a nature in the body, but you need to learn how to. You can only use anger for the service of Krishna, but not angry with people. Unless they're all rascals who are fighting with Krishna, then you can shout it angrily. But emotions, you work at it. It's. Like I said, it's not something you can do it overnight, but you have to work on it. You may get negative and feelings towards that person, so therefore you remove yourself from that situation, calm down, and then pray for strength so that you can work with that person. So you develop humility.
It's more than the person, it's like, I can't do it, right? That kind of thing,
like
feel,
like what? You can't do what?
Anything, if you say like, okay, I cannot, like if you have said that, if we have said that we will chant this much or some, whatever, if it's like, it is too much to get out of this place, whatever.
Well, it's very hard to get out of this place for sure.
Yeah, same thing, and then you get kind of,
overwhelmed. Okay, you're very emotional. So then you take, like I say, you don't have to try to do everything at one time, right? So when, let's say, they say chant 16 rounds, then it's too much for you. So you start at a number that you feel comfortable, right? So 4 rounds, do for 6 months, then you increase, double it to 8 rounds, do for another 6 months. Then after that, 12 rounds, then finally 16 rounds.
Yeah.
Then you'll feel, okay, I can do.
Yeah, that's one thing, but then there's maybe another force which is saying like, okay, let's go and do something else, like enjoyment, that's it.
Yeah, but
then... How to I'm not going there, I'm going to do this.
So you need association, good association. Now, if you have devotees who go and watch movie all the time, then you are finished. Right? There are devotees like that who say, it's okay, we'll watch one movie like that. Then you'll go, and you're trying to control your impulses, and then here you are. So then don't associate with them. If they want to go, you say, thank you, Haribol, you go and join another group who are more strict. So when you are with associates, then negative things, when it comes to you, they will help you. They will protect you. Right? You'll say, I'm emotional. They say, don't worry, we are here, we'll help you. Like, so you feel more peaceful and more stable in your thinking. So, association is very important. And the type of association you must pick also must be important. You cannot just pick anybody you want. You must make sure that person is your well-wisher. But at the same time, you must read Prabhupada's books also. 90% of the problem is people don't read his books. And so when they hear something, they believe and then they fight or they do some nonsense. But if you read Prabhupada's book, you have all the answers. So then if they say something, you say, I never read this. Where are you saying this from? Then if they say, then you go back and check. And then you say, okay, that makes sense, or no, it didn't make sense. You have to be intelligent also. The emotions you have, you use it to pray for Krishna. Don't let it disturb you, but use it to pray to Krishna. Yeah. The spiritual world is full of emotions. The devotees are crying and laughing and all kinds of things. So it's not like we give up our emotions. No, you purify the emotions.
So when like Prabhupada books are, so many books are there. Like when you say read Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, this starts Bhagavad Gita until you know the Bhagavad Gita, and then you read Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's only a few books you need to read. What
some
else?
Devotion, network instruction.
Yeah, you will. Once you finish this, they will guide you there.
Okay.
Yeah. Nectar devotion is mainly more rules and regulations, and how one can improve devotion, in what manner, and what are the results one can get. These are more philosophical. They are more based on the bhakti aspect.
Like mother said, like if you don't like someone or whatever, like they said, you work under them so that you get to tolerate and all this. But I have a feeling of finding faults. How do you overcome that?
Same thing, no?
It's not about I can work with anyone, but I have a tendency of finding mistakes.
You have to stop there. You have to sincerely.
I don't think so. As I know his nature, I'm saying that I don't think so.
No, I'm saying, no, yeah, the tendency is there.
The workplace or whatever, right?
Yeah, you may think, oh, this guy, why he has to do this way? Why can't he do another way? Like this, we'll find some fault. But then you keep it to yourself first, and then you ask yourself, why did I see it like that? Why couldn't I see the good thing in that person? If you can control your senses, you can do these things. If you don't control your senses, you cannot do those things. You understand? If you are controlling your senses, and then when you are working under someone, and your mind says, this guy is this guy is that, finding faults.
Or they're doing something wrong.
Yeah, then you will, or even if they do something wrong, then you will say, well, you know, it's not my place to judge him. Right? Who are you to judge him? Or who are you to judge her? You say, I'm here to do service. Maybe that is wrong, but I'm here to do service for Krishna. And he is also doing his service as best as he can. And it may be faulty, but Krishna may be accepting it. I do not know. The only time you interfere is when it's a bad thing, when they are trying to kill somebody or eat meat or alcohol, breaking principles. Then you intervene. Otherwise, you can say, maybe, you know, that's where the person is at. I'm at this level, that's it, finish. Thank you, Lord, for engaging me in service with this devotee. I'm learning something. You can always learn something. You can learn not to be like that.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah?
She wants to talk to you.
Yeah?
When you become dead, you're going
to be
in
my place.
She just wants to talk, so I'm just...
What is the question?
No, not question.
Oh.
She's telling something.
Okay.
Tell again.
When you die,
when you
remind
Krishna.
Krishna.
Yes, you should. Can you remember? Yeah, then it's good. When you die and remember Krishna, Krishna will come and take you back to him.
I want to go back to Krishna,
I
want to go back to mommy.
I can't. Krishna. Yeah, it says ante kale chamameva smaramukta kalevaram. So you can think of Krishna at the time of death, you go back to Krishna. Good.
So Prabhuji, how to teach the kids the like how to involve the whatever the circumstances in the house, how to involve them, because here like lot of devotees are there. So they are like, if parents are sick, they are like, they'll just go out and they'll come and after some time they'll come and they'll regular duty will go. But they're not learning how to help the situation, and because we are not doing here right now, because we are like no parents here. So
why
we are
no
not,
parents here?
No,
our children are going.
Our parents are
so
not,
why your parents should be
serving.
Here? It's your duty to raise your child. Why your parents should raise your child?
No. I'm not saying like that, Prabhu. I'm not saying like
that. I understand that.
No, mother is saying, if we are not serving our parents,
we are not serving our parents.
They will not see that.
They're not seeing that.
No, not necessarily. You train your children. Right? You train the children. You are the parent. So you tell the child what to do.
How to start that?
You tell the child, I am your father, I am your mother, you do what I tell you.
They won't get
They have to listen. Why you say they don't? That means you have raised them not to listen.
Yeah.
Krishna.
Yeah.
Every day, every moment we'll say, listen, listen.
Up to age of 5 years old, you can show a lot of affection. After 5, you have to be strict. That is the Vedic culture. You teach them, they have to follow certain rules. How old are the kids? So at a certain age, you can tell the children, if you don't like this, you can go out and live on your own. Then they will think, I have no place to go, I better follow what mommy and daddy say. Yeah. We have become too soft generation. And so the children becoming uncultured.
So, like, we told our kids.
How old are they?
They are like 6. You are sitting here.
Okay.
6 and 9.
Well, he will listen once 10. You are strict. Yeah?
Yeah, 6 and 10.
Yeah, they will listen.
So, we started, like, you need to bow down to the parents as soon as you get up in the morning.
Okay.
We started that. So,
they're doing
that? Sometimes they do some. Sometimes
so, you keep reminding.
I have to remind,
yes,
so I
that's fine.
Embrace to remind
yeah.
them that, okay, you need to bow down.
No,
the
no, no. See, that is your job. Otherwise, don't be a parent.
Okay.
Then don't become a parent. If you cannot.
We should not feel like that.
Yes, no, you're supposed to teach culture. So why are you embarrassed to teach your culture? Where's the embarrassment? They will learn something good for them. Simply by bowing down to you, they are getting so much blessings. Understand? So it's good for them, whether you tell or you don't tell. It's they
qualified to give them blessings.
Then why you became a parent?
Unknowingly.
So now you know, you become a parent. So now that you know, you train. Okay? You can't say all this. This is what has happened in India. All the cultures lost. Yeah. They used to train the children what to do and all this. Now, yes, they will come, they have to pay as soon as they get up. As soon as they get up, they should pay first obeisance to the deities, Nila Madhava and so on, and Prabhupada. You train them. Then after that, they come to you and your husband and pay obeisance. Then after a while, it will be natural for them.
They were telling that, okay, remind us, so you forget, remind us, but
yeah.
I feel like...
no, no need to feel anything. It's your job to train.
She has a question.
Another one.
Yeah, she's my elder.
Oh.
No
question. No
question. But you're a parent, you know, you have to train them. So one of these, there's nothing to be embarrassed. They are your children. Why are you embarrassed?
Her question is like...
one second. Do I have some fruits? Or you want milk?
Yes.
Which one?
Just give me milk.
Milk, okay.
Yeah.
With cardamom powder and
yeah.
some sugar.
Oh, stop this, no?